Germany's chancellor calls for widespread cooperation as EU leaders prepare to debate a coronavirus rescue package. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Speaking before the German parliament this morning, Angela Merkel said an EU-wide economic stimulus program could provide an upswing in the next 2 years.
One thing is already clear. In the spirit of solidarity, we should be prepared over a limited period of time to make very different, meaning much higher, contributions to the EU budget, because we want all member states in the European Union to recover economically.
On the table for discussion later this afternoon among European Union leaders, then, is a more than $500 billion relief package for EU countries and a common strategy to lift national lockdowns. The BBC's Katia Adler has more.
The rescue package, worth over 500 billion euros, is the fruit of much debate and bitter argument between EU countries in the richer north and those with weaker economies in the COVID-19 battered south of Europe. While a compromise was found and should be approved by the leaders at today's summit, the next fallout already beckons over the conditions to be attached to a recovery fund to get European economies back on their feet once the health crisis is over. EU leaders all have different domestic timetables for gradually easing coronavirus restrictions. Today, they're expected to agree to three preconditions before each country gradually lifts its lockdown: a sustained lower infection rate, a health service ready to deal with a possible second wave of infection, and sufficient testing capacity.
Katia Adler there. Well, European benchmarks are falling ahead of that meeting. That's after fresh data revealed a bigger extent of the blow coronavirus has had on Eurozone economies. Business activity plunged to record lows this month. To try and contain the pressure on Germany's economy as it begins to reopen, the government today approved a further $10.8 billion in business tax cuts and additional employment benefits. Meanwhile, in Southeast Asia, Vietnam's coronavirus strategy has been hailed as one of the most effective. The developing nation, which shares a long border with China, confirmed 268 infections and no deaths. The government is relaxing tight restrictions after reporting no new infections over the last week. This cafe owner said she's pleased to be getting back to work.
I'm very happy to open my cafe again today, to be able to work again as I've been at home for nearly a month. We try to make our cafe sterile. We wear face masks to serve customers, and everyone has to maintain a 2-meter distance to prevent people from infecting each other.
The BBC's Jonathan Head explains now how the country's strategy is seen as a model for poorer nations.
Vietnam is a one-party communist state with an efficient local administration and intrusive security apparatus, which is informed promptly of any possible infections and enforces quarantine even on entire districts to stop them from spreading. It's been unable to replicate the mass testing carried out by Germany and South Korea. Its health system is poorly resourced and would have been quickly overwhelmed by a more serious outbreak. Vietnam acted with speed when the first COVID-19 cases were reported in late January, stopping flights, eventually closing the border with China, and launching a nationwide information campaign with slick video messages and posters reminiscent of the heroic style used in the Vietnam War to mobilize the public behind what the country's leaders depicted as a national struggle against the virus.
Jonathan Head there. The coronavirus shutdown has impacted countless industries and businesses around the world. Domestic workers are one group that's been severely hit. Many have traveled abroad to find work and now find themselves jobless and stranded in a foreign country. The BBC's Ivana Davidovich reports.
If you're like me, spending most of the day at home in lockdown, it's likely you found yourself doing much more cooking and cleaning. It's not a surprise that some of us might get frustrated and tired. But for millions of domestic workers around the world, lockdown measures are taking a punishing toll. Michelle was a victim of modern-day slavery and was brought to the UK from Saudi Arabia. When she managed to escape, she was allowed to stay in the country and work legally. But now, her life has been turned upside down again because of the coronavirus pandemic.
My poor kids, they live together. It's only me, the source of income of my family. Now I don't have work, I don't have money. They are starving if I can't really work.
On the other side of the world, India has over 4 million domestic workers, which is a very conservative estimate. Many of them are locals. Simi in Kerala has a disabled daughter, and both her and her husband have found themselves without any income.
Due to the coronavirus lockdown, my family and I are struggling. I'm not getting any income now. My husband is an auto rickshaw driver, and he took a loan on it. We have mortgaged our house to pay for that loan. Now we are dependent on food rations from the government. If the lockdown continues, I don't know how we will survive.
Opinion pieces and social media posts have been written urging those who can to keep paying their domestic workers even if they can't use their services at this time. But are these noble initiatives actually helpful? Here's Claire Hobden from the International Labour Organization.
I hope that the current absence of domestic services highlights the ways in which households are really dependent on their services. But any positive gains must be institutionalized to basically promote their formalization.
At the moment, only Spain, Argentina and France have passed legislation to financially protect some of their domestic workers. But, as Hobden says, those schemes are an exception rather than the rule. I'm the BBC's Ivana Davidovic for Marketplace.
And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.